Hey, you're listening to another episode of Big Facts No Cap with Paul and Adrian, the only podcast that's number one with all those who like it a little spooky and all those currently taking a dookie. Let's get into this episode.
Big Facts
No
Cap.
Big
Facts
No
Cap.
No Cap.
Big Facts
No
Cap.
Big
Facts
No
Cap.
No Cap.
Big
Facts
No
Cap. Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
How's house sitting, Pearson Nichols?
Same old, same old. Nothing too interesting. Nothing too exciting. I am getting a much better sense of the neighborhood since I'm going on walks and bike rides more often. And I will say, they do a pretty okay job at decorating. They seem like very festive people around here.
Other Halloween heads?
Yeah, some big Halloween heads around here.
Are they going family friendly or are they going the real scary decorations?
I don't think there's an HOA ordinance because there's a lot of variation in how people are taking it. So it doesn't seem like there's any rules about it. There's definitely some people with like a really creepy, there's one that's got a very like Midsummer or like one that's like a very The Witch type vibe.
Oh, that's fun that people are actually like being thematically careful.
And then there's one where it's just Bluey and the rest of the dogs dressed as Halloween critters.
Bluey and the rest of the dogs.
Yeah. Do you know their names? I don't know. I don't watch.
Bingo. Chili.
Okay.
Bandit.
All right. I'll put some respect on their names. My bad. Spot. Jermaine.
That'd be like being like Sasha Obama and the rest of the Obamas. You know, whatever.
Wait, was Obama one of them, or did you say Sasha Obama? Oh, okay.
That one feels like that one doesn't... Her last name is also Obama. You know Obama
that's what I was saying.
Obama's first name.
That's exactly the point I was making. You're making my point for me. And yet, somehow, in a very Paul and interesting way, you're making you're the smug one about it. You're doing this interesting thing where you flipped it where you're the one who's acting like the right. The point I was making is you said Sasha and Obama as if it was separate people, as if not just saying Obama wouldn't just be her last name and that you're naming one person from the family.
Oh my God. Okay. Whatever, doctor.
All right.
We do have a doctor in the house. But not every star is the sun.
Star is certainly not a planet. I'd teach that
to
one of
my friends. Obama, but not every Obama is a Sasha. We get it.
It's a rectangle and a square.
Everybody should start using that instead of the sun star thing.
That's a good idea. Now say one nice thing about Sasha.
You know, this is probably problematic, but I don't really distinguish her and Malia in my mind.
Wow, that's crazy behavior.
I know. Do you? Which one was the one that liked
Pro-era?
Badass or Pro-era?
I'm not going to say, but I will say about Sasha is that... No, yeah, what I'm going
to
say is I think Sasha's a real team player.
Oh, okay. I guess he always says Sasha and Malia, so presumably Sasha's the older one, so I think she's the...
You don't think he's doing
one.
It in reverse alphabetical order? Just to be fair.
My daughters, Malia and Sasha? You see, that sounds wrong.
It doesn't sound as good, never said, yeah.
Yeah. And it's not because I just have a bad impression. It's because I put Malia before Sasha.
Well, usually he says Bo first. I think Bo is the oldest, but now R.I.P.
Why would he be talking about Biden's kids?
Oh, I was talking about his dog.
Oh.
Did he name his dog after Biden's kid?
Yeah, I think that's how it went.
Why is his cat named Hunter?
No cap.
What'd you get up to?
I got a bunch of media roundup because I've been watching a bunch of movies.
Okay. Let it rip.
Well, Dora Lee was complaining about how she had a Halloween party and her friends didn't like the first scary movie, or at least two of them didn't. So I had to rewatch it to see if it was as bad as I remember. And it is hilarious. It's as funny as I remember. And it definitely has some scenes that don't age well. But overall, I would still easily recommend to most people. Unless I was, I guess, I don't know. Can you get canceled for recommending a movie to the wrong person?
Absolutely.
Okay, in which case, I'm not recommending it to people. But definitely better than the second one. I rewatched the second one after the first one. By the way, not all in the same streaming service. You have to jump around on streaming services if you want to watch them. I got to go find the third one on a new streaming service. The second one is such a incredible decline in quality. And apparently, the Wayans brothers left after that one. And in their new horror parody
have
movies...
Have I been mispronouncing their names? It's Wayans?
Yeah, there's an A. But yeah, when they left, they had the gall to talk about the decline in quality after they left that series. The third one's easily the best. And even the fourth one, I think I remember getting a lot of chuckles out of. I'll rewatch them and let you know if they're still okay to watch. And then along with that, in my other quest for spooky movies, after our last episode, I, of course, had to go watch Sinister 2. Mm-hmm. There is a reason that no one has talked about that movie. It is quite bad. It does have that one guy reprising his role. They did that thing where they tried to add some like actual like human elements of horror into it, like, you know, like a domestic abuse situation. And it doesn't really do anything for it. It's still just kind of a mess of a movie. I did have one specific thing from it, though. Apparently, part of the scare comes from an investigator having a ham radio, which is the first time I've heard about a ham radio in a long time. So apparently, the note that I wrote that night was, ham radio, what's next, a BLT speaker?
Okay.
Is that something?
That's something? Everything.
Folks. And then other than that, now that I have HBO Max while I'm house-sitting, I went ahead and watched the first two episodes of Tim Robinson's new show, The Chair Company. And honestly, it kind of works for spooky season. They kind of picked a good time to release it. It's a weird drama thriller, obviously still very much a comedy in the style of Tim Robinson. And I think you'll like it if you watch it, if you like his other stuff. That's the one thing I can recommend in a modern context. Scary Movie 2, don't recommend in any context. Scary Movie 1, you know what? It's well written.
It's the that type first, of movie that first that movie is well written. It definitely written. Has problematic parts. It's very stupid. In my memory. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the era when that sort of frat bro comedy was.
That's actually one of my other points that, like, not even in a problem, well, in a problematic way, but also just a very sign of the times way. It's so boob focused. Anything about a woman being hot is about her boobs. And I'm like, man, I'm so glad we're past this era.
I mean, I don't know. You don't think the ass thing is probably just as obnoxious to some people?
No, I think that's going to age like foin wine, like some fat asses.
I wait until the sapiosexuals have their time and everybody's talking about brains.
The Big Bang Theory?
Oh my gosh.
What you don't think we're going to exhaust all the body parts first? We're going to do like lips and then legs and then...
No, I think we're going boobs, butt, brain. Three Bs.
Three Bs. That's true.
The three Bs of business. Boobs, butt, and brain. I don't really have much of a media roundup. Oh, do you, your adult animation YouTube channels, are they talking about this show Day Job?
No.
It's good. You should check it out. It's only got three episodes out. I think the fourth episode's going to be much higher quality. It's like, even though it's adult animation and definitely like, you know, in that realm, it's very like wholesome and feel good TV.
Mm. Oh, so wait, this is not indie animation, this is just adult animation?
No, it's indie animation, it's on YouTube.
Oh, who is it? Who's the mastermind?
Something Gagao, like Paul Gagao or something? Oh yeah, here we go. Paul George Huey. George Hugh? Gergu.
Gergu, the gooster.
Gergu, but yeah, Day Job, it's on YouTube, it's free. Seems like they got a big budget upgrade for episode 4 and it's going to be like slicker. Quality, so that'll be
nice.
Cool.
And it's about a guy working a day job, or
yeah, it's about an Australian guy, so you'll love to watch it so you can do the accent when you discuss it. And it's about him working at a bowling alley and with his coworkers.
So nothing spooky despite the
should I have watched something I mean, that's the thing, Adrian. I watch the news when I want to see something spooky.
That's true. Bad news all around these days.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, any big Halloween plans?
Just regular stuff.
Nice, nice. You guys don't give out Halloween candy, right? Or no, you guys seem like in a pretty prime location.
We do give out Halloween candy. We get the little babies. Anyway, the theme today. I don't know if we actually announced it. We just started talking about Halloween, but it's
yeah.
It's spooky
Another
stuff.
Spooky season episode, yeah.
Yeah. Adrian's favorite time of year.
Yeah. How's the decorating and stuff over there? Is this your second DC Halloween?
Yeah, it's well decorated out here. Our place has an inflatable spider, an inflatable ghoul man on the roof, a pile of pumpkins, a Halloween wreath.
Was that your neighbors who put that up, or was that you?
Yeah, our neighbors put it up. They switched the lights to purple and orange. He goes all out. It looks really nice here. I did have to turn off his automated laughing ghouls at the door because when
the
wind
anything
was
with
blowing,
a sound thing is yeah,
I could hear it go off every time like something set it off, and I was like, nah, we're turning that off.
That sounds like an advice column waiting to happen. You turned it off without asking?
Nah, I told him the next day and he was like, I'm sorry, keep it off.
Okay. Okay.
For sure, pimp. fist bumped him.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. And okay. It was like, you're the best person I ever knew in my damn life.
He's like, I'd fucking die for you, brother. I'd follow you through hell.
Hey, that's just the reaction people have to me, Adrian.
That makes sense.
Why? How's Pearson Nicole's house?
Oh, they have a couple pumpkins. I think that's literally it. I think they sometimes have dish towels that I kind of use year-round that are festive, but I kind of just use them whenever they're clean.
I'm going pumpkin carving Sunday. Any tips? I feel like I'm always so ambitious in what I think I'll be able to do because I'm not like bad at drawing. And then it's like, obviously, that's not the limiting factor. The limiting factor is how hard it is to actually pierce and make a good line in a pumpkin.
I did win a pumpkin carving contest when I was working at Trader Joe's.
Oh, really? What did you carve?
Yeah, it kind of felt like a pity one. I did the pumpkin, and you use the inside guts to make it look like it's throwing up, and it's because it ate a pumpkin cereal bar, not knowing that they weren't gluten-free.
And
classic Trader Joe's.
I assume you didn't want to win because the prize was some Halloween-themed JoJo's, and you were like, okay, I'm good, actually.
No, well, yeah, not as good as Oreos. I think it was like a $30 gift card.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, okay. I wasn't mad at it.
To Trader Joe's or to like... $30 gift card to
yeah, yeah.
Best Buy. Okay.
Which is really like a 30-something dollar gift card because you get an employee discount too. Mm-hmm.
And also, I'm stealing from there, so it's like a $500 discount, you know?
No, 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 no. I had some friends who got caught stealing and fired. I never did it.
Snacks or money?
No, no, snacks.
Okay.
One was really sad because it was a woman with an eating disorder, but the other one was a guy who literally would go in every morning and steal something to eat in the morning.
What was he stealing?
I think he got... The thing that he finally got caught for, I think, was like a pack of dried mangoes.
Oh.
It is a crazy workplace to steal food from. They do have snackies everywhere.
Yeah.
You could literally just go to the demo station and ask if they have some snackies.
Well, I guess if they were making it their breakfast every morning, it was a little bit more substantial then.
I think for him, it was like, I like stealing a $4 smoothie from my work. That's praxis. What was the question? Oh, my pumpkin. Yeah, that was my pumpkin tip. I don't know. I guess people like contemporary things, so I don't know what's hot right now.
Game of Thrones? Do a Labubu.
Ooh, a Labubu. Now, that's a good idea.
Game of Thrones.
I don't know. I'm not tapped into what's in right now. I don't know.
What's hot right now? A flap of haircut?
Yeah, exactly. So going down to the box hop with your favorite gal?
What's hot right now? A Nickelodeon movie? Spooky. We've gotten a little off topic.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Spookiness. I don't know. I'm trying to think because we've talked about spooky season pretty broadly in other episodes. So what is there? I don't know. I mean, it would be if I had any stories, I would tell them, but I haven't done any corn mazes. I haven't done any haunted houses. I know Doralee's been doing all that stuff.
Rawl Farms. Yeah, I'm not going to do another corn maze till I can go back to Rawl Farms. You know what I'm saying?
Rawl Farms. I thought it was Deceased Farms.
Oh, I forget which one.
Rawl Farms was just the actual big farm in our hometown. That was just you trespassing. Was that our first?
Like, there's no tunnels in this corn base. It's corn is just really dense.
You gotta make your own. Was that our first life experience with finding out that like one of your classmates has the last name of the people who own all the land in town? Was that for you?
Because
it was for me.
I remember putting that together, and I was like, "What?"
Yeah, wait. I was like, "Wait, I recognize that name."
Although, I mean, I feel like I knew they were a rich family, but I feel like I learned that in high school. I didn't actually notice they owned all the land, did you? You were, like, observant about that?
I think so, on rides home. I think, especially because on our ride home, we definitely passed a lot more of it than you did, yeah. Mm. We were going through actual cornfields and shit back to Gilbert.
That's true, that's true. I forgot you were heading out to the country.
And now that I think about it, Cease Farms, I think my 8th grade history teacher was named Mrs. Cease, so I think she was also from that family, yeah.
I remember that teacher. I didn't have them, but I remember their name.
Yeah, she was right, I guess. She taught South Carolina history, so I was never going to like what she had to say that much. Have we talked about this before? Do your parents have like a last name that like has any cachet back home? Or
My mom does, but...
And my mom, too. Yeah, Doralee said that in certain parts of like the very specific village that my mom is from, her last name carries some weight.
Ooh. And we trust Doralee to correctly have observed that.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. She got like an extra, like she got like an onion ring in her fries and she was like, oh yeah, I think mom's name carries some weight around here. I think we're going to get treated pretty well around here. Are you doing anything besides the pumpkin carving?
Yeah, party, but I think it's pretty regular. I guess actually Isabel said the person who invited her, who I don't know, said that they do like a haunted house thing, so I guess maybe that will be interesting.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I really peaked. I think it was senior year of college that I was invited to so many Halloween parties that I had to make it a Halloween party hopping night was basically the game.
So you went as a kangaroo.
Yeah, exactly. I went as a kangaroo. Then I went as a waitress from IHOP.
Mm. Then you went as Kevin Gates performing IHOP.
Then I went as Kevin Gates performing IHOP. Then I went as something else that bounces. I went as a baby in one of those little bouncy things. What do you call those? Isn't there like an English name for those things? It feels like something that would be hyphenated like three times. It'd be like a habit-a-doo.
Yeah, a habit-a-doo.
But yeah, I went with one of those things. That was my end of the night when I got drunk.
Mm.
Honestly, if they made adult versions of those, that'd be pretty rad.
I think that's like a walker.
Where you're bouncing around with a bunch of activities to do as you spin around? I don't think so.
What would be the adult version of the activities?
You're like playing Roblox in one, you're doing a Rubik's Cube in the other, chopping vegetables on like a little board in the other for your meal prep. You know, that kind of stuff.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, I interrupted you. Okay, so you went bar hopping or party hopping?
Party hopping, yeah. I think that was the last year that I got invited to enough Halloween parties that I was like, oh, dang, I got to make a whole like plan.
You doing anything this year?
You know, ironically, it's because Halloween's on a Friday. I think the Saturday is I have a housewarming party. So actually on night of Halloween proper, I don't know if I have a plan. I just have a party the next night. I think I have a friend who's on the lookout for something to do that Friday. So I'll wait to hear back. But definitely not putting a lot of effort into a costume. I think I'm just going to go as a giraffe in my onesie.
Oh, that's something worth discussing.
Great segue.
I think I've talked about this before. I don't care for this 2010s trend, and maybe it started a little earlier than that, of the ironic low-effort costume. Have we talked about this? I think I always kind of originate it in my mind to the episode of The Office where Jim is Facebook and he just writes book on his face.
Damn.
And then I feel like I just noticed that so often, like in college and stuff, where there's one guy whose bit is that, like, look at how little effort I did.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always something like that, like a pun that's like effortlessly like tagged on to them, or a like "Hello, my name is" sticker or something.
Well, I think my issue with that would then be the pun of it, not the low effort. I actually don't mind a low effort. Have you ever seen the guy online who does the low effort cosplays?
No.
Oh, I love that guy. He does like a lot of like framing and using items in like different fields of frame to like make things look a certain way. But his whole thing is that like, yeah, he'll take like toothpaste and a brush and something else and make himself look like the alien or whatever from Alien. It's pretty rad. But it's not puns, which is why I like it. I don't know if I'm seeing a lot of these Facebook guys.
You didn't. Maybe it's also petered out. I might be old man in here complaining about something that's barely a thing anymore.
You've mostly been complaining about kids recently.
You've been seeing the kids
coming out as Mr. Beast and XQC and other streamers that you don't know.
Ooh, Mr. Beast would be a good one. I guess all you'd have to do is like have a camera or something. I don't know. How would you pretend to be Mr. Beast?
Yeah, a camera. Mr. Beast, the camera guy. That's what I would do.
You're right.
If I see a guy with a camera, I'm like, what are you doing with Mr. Beast right now?
You'd have to have a $100,000 ice cream and a $1 ice cream and
be kids nowadays. Them. The kids nowadays show up for yearbook day and they're like, what is that, Mr. Beast over here?
Okay. Can't make one mistake anymore. What's wrong with our culture?
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. I'm not being very kind. I didn't take in the message of Mr. Beast's videos.
Cool. I guess we should do a column.
Let's get into it. Let's get something to talk about. For mine, I'm doing a classic Allison Green Ask a Manager. So we're going to do a little work-based Halloween for this one. This is from October 25th, 2021. My company wants me to work Halloween, and I'm a Halloween fanatic. Here we go. A reader writes, I've been at my job for 6 months, and everything is going really well. I like the company, the work, the boss, everything is good. After many meetings, it was decided that a large, yearly project is going to be processed at the end of October. We had the ability to do this during various times, but heads higher than ours picked the dates. The problem here is that I'm a Halloween nut. This is the equivalent of asking Buddy the Elf to work on Christmas. I love Halloween so much that I ask during interviews if October is a busy month. I often take off the last week of October, sometimes two, for spooky season. My wedding anniversary is that week. We had a Halloween wedding. I carve pumpkins, drink pumpkin beer, watch horror movies, my favorite, and set up my house for the ultimate scare for the neighborhood children. I have a gigantic Halloween tattoo on one arm. I've volunteered at several haunted houses and hayrides. I'm trying to paint a picture here. It may be unusual that a woman in her 40s is this crazy over what some call a kid's holiday, with which I completely disagree. But my point is that this is important to me and has been for a long time. I had previously put in for 2 PTO days before the dates for the project were decided. My team made the assumption that I am leaving town since I didn't rescind the days. Someone else had PTO and rescinded their days, stating that they were going to be home. I'm not going away, but I also didn't correct anyone's thinking out of concern that they would ask me to do the same. The team agreed they can manage without me, and I volunteered to do the heavy lifting that leads up to the end of the month. I feel that I'm pulling my weight and have put in a lot of hours and effort into this project. I've offered to be available the Thursday and Friday that I'm off via phone. I said I was not available on Saturday the 30th or Sunday the 31st. They are already talking about next year and assuming I'll be here for the project. The problem is that I am not now, nor will I ever, be available on Halloween. I understand I can't voice it that way to my manager, but I do need to find a way and a time to bring this news up to her. I'll work Christmas, Thanksgiving, my birthday, my husband's birthday, whatever. My boss and I have a great relationship, we work well together, and my review is coming up. She knows I like Halloween, but I don't think she understands how much. Some may think this is a silly hill to die on, and that is okay. If this becomes non-negotiable, it is something I would consider leaving a job over. We all have things that are important to us, and this is one of my few deal breakers. When I asked during the interview about October, I was told it was not as busy, and that was the truth at the time. If I knew this project was going to be a yearly, time-consuming October effort, I would not have taken the job. When will be a good time to bring this up? Obviously before October of next year. I was leaning towards waiting until after I have been here a year, or at least my review. I've held back on saying something because I understand that it looks a little silly. Maybe there is someone out there who loves Arbor Day and wants that off every year. I'm struggling to articulate this, and I appreciate any input.
The part where it's a list of things that she would rather work on those days than on Halloween.
Christmas, Thanksgiving, her birthday, her husband's birthday.
My child's birthday. I mean, literally the day they're being born, but...
Eh?
I don't know. That was funny to me. What this is one of those ones where... first off, it doesn't really seem like a problem. It seems like you got it off. You're fine for the upcoming
year. Yeah, you just
gotta
lie a little bit. Yeah.
You already did the lie, and nobody even pushed back on it. I think maybe you're overstating your importance.
Well, it's the yearly
thing.
She's
like, oh, everybody wants me here so bad. They're like, no, it's fine. Take your vacation. She's like, oh my God, I'm being pressured so hard.
But it's
going to
be year after year, and it's going to be the same job.
But it doesn't even seem like if nobody pressured her this year, just keep doing it. I don't know.
But she didn't know this time. She took off the PTO before that was decided that was going to be the big date.
Well, I'll just do it again next year and see if they question you.
Kind of seems like a bad team player, and then how is she going to bring that up?
Family, say that this year and every year in the future are your family's extended family.
I mean, could you not just say the real thing, that it's your anniversary and that you plan a trip for your anniversary every year?
Oh, is that part of the real thing? I thought she was like spending the week volunteering at haunted houses. And
she mentioned that, but like she did say it's also her anniversary.
Oh. I just like the idea of all of them being like, good job on the project. We finally delivered and it's October 29th. Let's go and have like a celebratory thing together, like a team building exercise. Let's go to a haunted house.
Let's go to deceased farms. That's a sitcom right there. That's definitely an episode where she tries to really do up her makeup last minute to make it seem like it's not her.
Yeah, she's yelling at the mummy. She's putting toilet paper around her head. She's like, I'm a mummy.
Yeah. And she's supposed to do like a scare where she says something and like they're like, she doesn't want them to recognize her voice. And so they're like getting on her like, you haven't done your line. And she's like, I forgot.
Blah. They're like, this is an escape room experience. I think there's something you need to tell us for the next clue.
Yeah. She's doing that famous volunteer role in Escape Room.
It is crazy that that haunted houses have so many volunteers, though. Aren't they?
I mean, it's crazy how many of them have them that aren't high school theater kids and are instead 40-year-old women. That's a little bit weird, but you know, who am I supposed to... What am I going to say about
I'll say what we're all thinking. She's too into Halloween.
That wasn't the advice she was asking for.
She wasn't asking for a critique of how her love of Halloween. But I'm going to give it. I'm going to give some unasked for advice.
And how is that helpful? What is she supposed to do about that?
Nothing. I'm just commenting. She likes Halloween too much and she should stop. No, I'm joking. I appreciate her joie de vivre, obviously.
Yeah, I'm about to say, I understand.
I don't understand at all. To take a week off to hang out and volunteer at haunted houses.
Having passion and loving for something.
Okay.
If I wrote in an article about eating pussy and you were telling me, Adrian, you have to stop loving eating pussy, I'm going to be like, I don't know what to tell you, Paul.
And everyone's got something like that. Because your boss scheduled a big meeting on that week where you love to eat pussy.
I have to do an auctioneer panel and my jaw's going to be sore. I'm doing it, but I took the days off and no one questioned me and I'm allowed to do it and I'm pulling my weight beforehand.
The question makes no sense. It's nobody's complained. Everything worked out perfectly already. It's yearly,
Paul. It's going to be a yearly issue. She wouldn't have taken the job.
Who cares?
Yeah, I mean, especially once you're under, once you got in your year, like your, what do you call it, probation done? Yeah.
It also, I'm not convinced by her idea that people are going to care next year either. It sounds like maybe it's not like, I don't know. She's not as necessary as she thinks she is for this last week of October.
I was going to say that once it's established that that's due that time of year every year, people might try and might eventually get resentful about her taking off every year. I mean, one person gave up their PTO because of it.
Yeah, maybe.
That person's going to be mad if they find out what happened.
I think if you say that's when my family does their family reunion. I think it's just kind of like
the family reunion.
Who we introducing?
This is my co-host Nosferatu.
Finish the line.
He likes his spaghetti with ragu. At the family reunion, who's Paul introducing?
Oh, nobody.
No. Okay.
Yeah, I can't think of anything that would rhyme with important work meeting. What name would rhyme with important work meeting?
This is my cousin, K-pop Demon Hunters. That's probably going to be the number one costume for this year, right?
If the wigs are easy to get a hold of.
Yeah, I don't really know how to distinguish them, and I also can't tell. Is one of them the leader? Is one of them the Blossom?
I have no clue.
Because I think they all sing all the songs, so I don't know. It still has that three-person setup where it feels like one's clearly meant to be the main prong.
No cap.
I found out recently on Mike Birbiglia's podcast that Caleb Herron is a fan of and a friend of Waxahachie. I didn't expect that.
Oh, that makes sense to me.
I guess it does make sense. I don't know.
You know what makes less sense to me is that you would know who Waxahachie is. That doesn't seem like Adrian music.
There you go. I was about to say, yeah. I went into her music thinking that she was corny and that she sucked, but apparently she's cool.
Mm. I only know her because Isabel likes her, so that's not even me being like, Adrian wouldn't know that, but I would. I just didn't think it was in either of our realms.
I still haven't looked it up. I don't know if she's a white woman doing a weird, sounds like a Native American name, but I'm assuming not. She seems like she's cool.
No, it is. It is, because I've tackled this with Izzy, because I was really? That better not be a white person, and she's like, it is. It's the name of the town she's from, and I was like, still seems.
Oh, whatever. Okay, never mind. Never mind.
I like how me and you have the same. I'm just double checking real quick to make sure I'm not spreading misinformation. Yeah,
yeah, because that was
Texas.
There was the lady who I saw spoke at a DSA event who had a short-lived advice column that I wanted to bring in. Tried to look her up, and something in her Twitter bio was something about like probably listening to Waxahachie right now. And I looked it up. I was like, wonder what that is. And I was like, rip.
The spookiest thing of all, white women appropriating native cultures.
Mm, ain't that the truth?
Mm-hmm.
I like that song that she has with MJ Lenderman.
Mm.
Been yours for so long, get right back to it. That's all we can afford.
Go for 5 more seconds, and this is going to be Isabel's favorite episode of the show ever.
Ooh, shit, how does the rest of it go? I'm MJ Lenderman. Yay, yay, yay.
Toontown, other 2000s children's reference.
Michael Jordan.
All right, cool. Do you want to hear the professional answer? Do we have real advice?
Do we have any actual advice? Yeah. Have we done anything yet?
Pretend
you're sick next time. Come up with a new reason each time. Or I think you were smart saying you should have something every year, like that should be the anniversary or something, like your fucking wedding that you can do. And then keep your secrets to your grave. Never tell anyone, besides the fact that you just broadcast this to everybody.
I will say a full week for an anniversary does seem excessive. That's why I feel like a trip.
Say that your
to
dog
see your
died.
Family. How many years until they're going, this is gross negligence. Her dog is dying on a yearly cycle right next to the demonic holiday.
You dress up
she's
for
sacrificing
Halloween
her dog
as Hassan Piker.
Come on. Is that still going on?
I don't know, brother. I think so. I don't know what's going on with him. All right, here we go. From Allison Green. You sound like you're feeling very defensive about how important Halloween is to you, but I don't think you need to be. You get to decide what's important to you and what's a deal breaker for you. Your Halloween week sounds awesome, and I can see why you don't want to give it up. We all get to have things that are important to us that don't line up with more mainstream observances. Hell, I once planned an international trip about making sure I would be home for the end of daylight savings time because I like the day so much. That said, I can see why you feel uneasy about it too. When it's a busy time at work, people do sometimes judge the reason someone is out. This is hyperlinked, with a quote afterwards saying, "She took off for a day at the beach during our busiest time and left us scrambling shorthanded. Can feel different than, she's out for emergency surgery, so we're all pitching in." Still, though, you have to get a thing you need to be off for. If you have a bunch of them, if you required a week off for the 4th of July and a long weekend for your birthday, and a week for Halloween, and you could never be disturbed on either side of Valentine's Day, that would be unreasonable at most jobs. It would also be fascinating, and I hope to get a letter from that person one day. But this is one thing, and you asked about October in the interview. You should be fine. As for when to bring it up about next year, you have a bunch of options. You can mention it at your review. You could mention it at the start of the new year, in the context of planning for the year. You could wait until you've been there a year if you want. Any of those are fine. I would wait at least a month or two from now, though, since the more time that has gone by since the current busy period, the less likely people are going to think, wait, that's why she didn't cancel her day off during our big push? I'm not saying they'd be right to raise their eyebrows at it, just that it's easily avoided, so you might as well. When you do bring it up, frame it as, I want to bring this up before planning starts for next X project. I try to take time off around Halloween every year, at least a couple of days, but sometimes a week or two. It's my wedding anniversary, and I have a lot going on at that time of year. If your manager seems hesitant, it's okay to say, it's so important to me that I actually make a point of asking about October before accepting a job. I know you didn't foresee this project then, but if there's a way to make it work, I'd really like to. Here is a spooky thing for you. Oh, there's an update to this letter, and there was that link from the last sentence that I don't know. Okay, so the link was just for another episode. The update is, I'm happy to report that I still love the job, and I have Halloween off this year. The same project is happening again, and it was agreed that I would do a lot of the front-end work. My boss waited until today to give me the green light, but she said it was fine. I gave her the option to call me if things go haywire. My job is mainly remote, but after I wrote in, the team started going into the office one day a week. They saw my Halloween tattoo, my pumpkin purse, my skull laptop bag, my orange, purple, and green accessories. It became a running joke, one I don't mind, about my passion for this time of the year. Of course, I would rather have the week off, but I will take the day. Your words that stuck with me were, we all get to have things that are important to us that don't line up with more mainstream observances. Thank you for that. I enjoyed reading all the comments last year regarding what days people took off for their own interests. My plans are to sit on my couch for a horror movie marathon, elbow deep in pumpkins and a bag of dark chocolate. There will be a cup of pumpkin spice coffee nearby, a black cat on my lap, and a fall-scented candle. Once the sun goes down, I will rise in my vampire costume to scare the neighborhood children. Happy haunting. All right, Paul, how'd you feel about that nice little resolution?
I liked it, and it completely mirrored what you would expect. Nobody cares. Like, just say you want that week off. I don't know what sort of...
Well, she just got the day off.
Oh, okay. I wasn't listening that closely.
That's surprising.
I'm sorry.
Gonna go listen to some Waxahachie to get my feelings out. Been in person a native person for so long. Get right back to it.
What'd you think about that answer?
Yeah, I think I agreed with all of it except for the bringing up that you asked about that during your interview. I feel like the person would be like, I don't give a shit about that. Obviously, we were not thinking about that when you brought that up as a question in the interview.
It is shocking to get hired after Dirk. That feels like a Tim Robinson saying, and do you have any questions for me? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I got one.
I got one honking question for you. Halloween, that's important to me. Now, are you going to be cool with that or are you going to be weird about that?
Yeah, you're right. Like, that's like a Tim Robinson character. Like, okay, one question. Do I have to eat at lunch at my desk or can I eat it wherever?
And the person is like, no, it's okay.
Wherever, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, what do you mean?
It's okay if you like Halloween.
He's like, you said.
And you're like, oh, but I just want to make sure that if you ask me to work on Halloween or if there's a big project, you're not going to pretend you forgot about this. You're not going to pretend you forgot about this conversation.
Yeah, no, I think that's the only part I disagreed with.
Yeah, that is odd. That's an odd one.
All right, do you want to get into your column?
Yeah, let's do it. Okay, yeah, so this is Candid Candace. I don't think we've done her before. Dear Candid Candace, Labor Day just came and went, and now all of my suburban neighbors are hyper-focused on Halloween. Like every year, folks around here are fixated upon adult party plans, which includes the opportunity to dress scantily and imbibe heavily. This year, there are even competing adult parties within the neighborhood. It seems to me that this holiday has spiraled out of control among adults, and the little kids are getting left behind with either a babysitter or intoxicated parents. Any idea as to how to change this neighborhood dynamic? Or do we just do Halloween our way? Keep in mind that suburban shunning occurs if events go unattended. Signed, Halloween out.
All right, I'll keep that in mind.
Are you sensing the connection between the two columns of the Halloween obsessed? Your column is from the perspective of the person who thinks Halloween's a really important holiday, and this person thinks their neighborhood is too obsessed with Halloween?
Well, they're too obsessed with adult things.
What's the correct amount you're allowed to enjoy Halloween?
It is interesting that we're going a full duet of Halloween articles without anything about kids.
Well, this one, it does have kids. It's about how the cool babies are getting
worried
left.
About the children. They're worrying how to explain this
they're
to the children.
Left behind.
I always thought the big thing about Halloween is that for kids, it ends at like 10 p.m. max, and for adults, it can go until the night. So like,
I don't think you're supposed to really stay out much past dark for most young kids.
Yeah, for kids, you're only out until like 2 a.m., but like for parties, you can be out till 6 a.m., 7 a.m. Like, I don't see what the big time conflict is. It was this week's bonus Comedy Bang Bang episode, but Scott was talking about how someone invited him to do a Halloween show, and it was the easiest no he ever sent because he was like, no, I have like a 3-year-old. Like, I've got things to do on Halloween night, which is funny because my advisor had that same thing once. It was one of those things I was never supposed to tell anybody, but it's been 8 years. I feel like the statute of limitations is up. But he was supposed to give a presentation for our class my first year of grad school, and he didn't realize that the date was Halloween. And he was like, yeah, I lied about being sick. I have a 2-year-old child. Of course, I wasn't going to go give a lecture that night. I don't know.
Well, 2-year-old is actually, I don't really get the point.
Is her first, second Halloween.
Oh my God. Sure. I mean, if you care about that.
Wow. You know what? I think maybe the other side of it is what made sense to me is that he's the kind of person where if he forgot that like he had a rewards that he had to use by Tuesday at Chili's, he would call out sick. So like, I don't really think of calling out as being that big of a deal or disservice to people around him, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, not that I care. I'm good for him if that's something he thinks is important, but also it's not like the kid's gonna be like, Dad, where were you?
Pop. What? You know, kids these days have everything recorded. They know everything.
Okay.
They're going to be like, Papa, why were you at that Waxahachie concert on my birthday?
But yeah, this person seems like a real fuddy-duddy, huh?
I mean, what are they going to do? I mean, that's what they're asking, so that's what we have to answer, but like...
And all these scantily clad women and imbibing alcohol. It's like, shut the fuck up.
I mean, it seems pretty in character to me, yeah. Competing parties is not an issue. That's what I was saying. That means you get to bounce around, baby.
I'm surprised this person's invited to any party.
Well, you have to invite everybody. This is clearly a neighborhood politics situation.
It's so suburban to be scandalized by the idea that there's competing parties. Like, what world would there be two parties? What do you mean? Why is that an issue for you?
It does show a lack of harmony.
You're really taking this question asker side in a way I didn't think you would, but okay, I like this dynamic.
I don't think I have. I don't think so.
Okay, so you're in love with the question asker.
I mean, is she single? Come on now. Hold up. Pull up. Come on now. I need somebody to be my double when I'm going as ketchup.
But only as long as it's a very conservative mustard costume showing no skin.
Yeah. I like to leave it to the imagination. What are we doing about the kids? Let's see. Adult parties. Yeah, I don't know. Did my time thing not make sense? Is there not, like, a clearly everybody can have their kids in bed by...
Well, I don't think that's this person's problem. I think they want to be a buzzkill.
Oh!
I think that would ruin it for them. They'd be like... They would tell you to shut up if they heard you make it that point. They'd be like, no. I'm doing it for the children.
I don't know why it never clicked to me that Labor Day was the closest big holiday to Halloween. Labor Day just came and went this year. You know, normally it's a big hullabaloo. Everyone's putting up their decorations.
That is a weird way to start the question. Labor Day.
Yeah, it's just an odd person.
Labor Day came and went. I barely had time to enjoy it before the slutty Halloween sluts and drunk Halloween drunks came out. And think about the poor children. I do like that you're partial to that argument. Are you also worried about gay marriage because of the children? What other things, when people say, I'm worried about the children, do you believe that they're actually worried about children?
Did I ever agree with that? Do we have that somewhere on record?
Yeah. At the beginning of this question, you're like, the poor children, man.
Nah, man, fuck them kids. I'm worried about... There should be a third party. That way you can hop while also being like, we're going to skip that party. That party's going to suck.
And then they're also worried because of the neighborhood dynamics.
Yeah, she has to come, right?
Any ideas as to how to change the neighborhood dynamic? Or do we just do Halloween our way? But if we do, I'm worried that I'll be shunned for unattending. I don't think anybody's going to care if you don't go. There's definitely other people in this neighborhood who also go to out-of-neighborhood parties. There's no way this is a 100% insular neighborhood.
You think this is where that article that's famous about poor people going to rich neighborhoods comes from? There are also those people going out to the
poor neighborhood. There was a new one of those. Did you see?
No.
That first one was
reported on, yeah.
It wasn't as bad because it was a question asker being like, my neighbor is that type of person, and I'm annoyed with them.
Hey, shout out to the guy in the rich neighborhood who always gave out hot dogs and barrel juices. That guy rocked. I remember the first time I found out one of my friends lived in that neighborhood. I was like, God damn. Y'all be doing shit. How to change the neighborhood dynamic. Do a trunk or treat where everyone has to bring their car out so they can't drive drunk to get their car out onto the street.
Tear this neighborhood apart. Politics. Figure out who's a Trumpy, figure out who's a lib.
Ooh, interesting. I say call the cops on them. Get them back to their kids. Ooh, or dress as the Pied Piper and steal everybody's kids. That way they have to contend with the fact that they were bad parents.
To teach them a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Do you give them their kids back or?
No, you take them into the sewers and train them how to be ninjas.
Why?
To fight crime?
To what end? If you're not going to change society at a systematic level, and you're just going to have them fight street-level crime...
Okay, then never mind. Then take them to the sewers and raise them to vote. I don't know. To vote blue. I don't know how else to create systemic change, Paul.
Any other advice?
Oh, I don't know. She hasn't said anything about having her own kids, or having her own husband, or having her own costume, or having her own party, or anything. Yeah, move. I don't know.
Move to a boring neighborhood.
Yeah.
This is such a good problem to have. I also didn't mention this was posted recently on 2025. How many neighborhoods are like this in 2025? I feel like everybody's so atomized. This seems like such a good problem to have a neighborhood where people care and are actually getting together.
That's beautiful. Well, I have no idea what Candace's vibe is, but I'm ready to hear what she has to say.
Oh, the horror. It seems like Halloween has turned your suburban paradise into a spooky battleground of competing adult parties. It's like the Hunger Games, but with pumpkin spice lattes instead of weapons. But fear not, for I have some advice that might help you navigate this eerie neighborhood dynamic. Reverse psychology might be an option. Instead of trying to change the neighborhood's plans, embrace the chaos. Show up at one of the adult parties dressed as a babysitter or a designated driver. People might get the hint that someone needs to be sober enough to drive the kids to school. Or you can embrace the Halloween spirit with a twist. Host a neighborhood-wide zombie apocalypse theme party. Encourage everyone to dress up as the undead and wander the streets. If you can't beat them, join them, right? This way, the kids won't feel left out, because who doesn't like a good old zombie chase? Kidding aside, I do feel like there's been a shift between enjoying and planning Halloween for the kids to adults using it as an excuse to misbehave. I miss the old days, when you'd open your door and an adorable kid was standing there dressed as a Marvel hero. I would do Halloween your way. No need to blindly follow the crowd. Make it fun and appropriate for you and your family, because in the end, that's all that really matters. Suburban shunning be damned.
I don't know if I fully follow this situation being like the Hunger Games with pumpkin spice lattes. So wait, everything that happened in the movie is the same, but there's pumpkin spice lattes instead of weapons? That feels nothing like this current situation.
Agree to disagree.
I just think that's bad writing. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't really get it. It felt almost AI-y in its ability to like put together the words without actually making sense overall.
But otherwise, it was a good way of saying that this is a hullabaloo over nothing.
It's a hullabaloo.
Big ol' hubbub.
A humdinger.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have too much to say about that.
Cool. I'm going to get a drink and we'll do the third segment.
Yeah, sure. So I've got a tier list of candies open.
What are we going to do with that?
Kill ourselves? I don't know. What were you thinking?
But before we do, would you like to fill out the tier list?
Ooh, yeah, that sounds like a good plan. Let's do that. I just started sharing my screen. And the first candy up on board. First of all, do you have anything to say? Well, first of all, the ranking is based on if you got these for Halloween, how quickly would they be gone? So we've got first gone, A tier, B tier, last gone, straight into the trash. IDK, what these are, weren't in my neighborhood. I went to my neighborhood, asked about these candies. They didn't know you. Do you have any things to say off top about your candy preferences?
No, yeah, I like sour candies and like fruit candies, gummies. I like chocolates too, but that's usually a lower tier for me than gummies and sours.
All right. Well, this is going to be bad for the audience. Good for us. I basically agree. I'm a fruity candy guy, gummy guy for sure. Over most candies, I don't like black licorice. That's a big thing. And then chocolate, I like it if it's with peanut butter or with fruit.
Well, let's get into it then.
All right. Hershey's cookie and cream.
Oh, I don't like those very much. I think there's very few that I'm going to say go into the trash. For me, that's just the last gone.
Because you're anti-food waste, yeah. Last gone, really? I would put it maybe in B tier, but I'm okay with last gone. I used to get these when I went to summer camp in North Carolina. You'd get two things from the canteen every day. And because it was 2 weeks, there was enough days where you're like, let me try something a little bit different. I'm going to go something a little kooky today. And I'd get a cookies and cream bar and I'd be like, yeah, that's all right.
Oh, put it in B. My thing is I definitely like the regular more, even though a lot of people hate regular Hershey's bars.
Oh, really? Yeah, I was about to say, for Hershey's, that's like the only palatable one. The other Hershey's is garbo. Okay. All right, Reese's, the cups.
Yeah, that's a first gone for me.
That's a first gone for me, yeah. It also, I don't know, I know it's as shelf stable as any other piece of candy, but it feels like, I want to eat this while it's fresh type thing. It kind of has that vibe to it for some reason.
It's moister.
Yeah. All right. This is something I've said about you, Paul, that you're a candy wrapper with four bars. You're just a Kit Kat.
Oh, well, I mean, this is just based on if we put the cookies and cream in B, this is significantly better. So it has to be A by
I would like it better if it was a matcha Kit Kat or one of those other fun flavors, but a regular Kit Kat's okay. I'll put it in A.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Your no longer favorite, Reese's Pieces.
That's an A tier for me. It's a good candy.
A tier?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. I don't mind the candy shell. And as I've said before, you put me on to mixing it with popcorn, which is a pretty good mix.
I do that. I forget who put me on to that.
Hey. You know what? All right, Sweet Tarts.
It's the mimetic quality of knowledge. It's just traveling right through society. True. The first person to do it, one Adolf Hitler.
Oh, hey. Yeah, hey, he had some good ideas. I assume that's what people mean when they say that online, that he had some good ideas. The next one is Sweet Tarts, original. I'm not placing them. I'm just getting them into the middle of the screen. I feel like it's been a long time since I've had a Sweet Tart. I feel like I like them. Are they, they're the kind of thing that's like Reese's Pieces, right? Where it's a candy shell, softer thing in the middle, or are they just like soft and chewy all the way through?
It's not much softer in the center.
I don't know why it feels like I haven't had one in forever. I would maybe put it in a B or A tier. I kind of like the tartness.
B tier, maybe A, but...
Yeah, I think I'm okay with that. All right, Three Musketeers. It's the last gun for me.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm mixing it up with Mars Bars, or maybe I just feel the same way about both of them. But Three Musketeers, did they ever have good commercials? I feel like I used to think that I was supposed to like them, but I just never really got into them.
They, along with Twix, were really like what I thought of as the most stereotypical candy bar. Like, if you asked me for the platonic ideal of like what I imagined people meant when they said candy bar, I was thinking Three Musketeers or Twix.
Interesting. Two things. One, what are the Three Musketeers about it? And two, is Three Musketeers not, is that public domain? Is that why they're allowed to use it? Or is it like Babe Ruth, where like the owner or the creator said it was named after his child and not the baseball player, and that's like
how he got around the president's child, Baby Ruth Roosevelt? I forget which president's kid.
Ruthie Roosevelt. That's what I named my candy after. I named my candy bar after a treasure map where it said that there were three muskets here, and I misheard the guy. Oh, Pixie Sticks. Well, you can snort them like cocaine.
And for that reason...
they got that going for them. That's why their fur's gone for me. I use them to suppress my appetite for other candies.
Honestly, they're a last gone for me. I'm not that big on Pixie Sticks.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not a big fan. Does come not wrapped in plastic. I guess the top is plastic, but they are just paper, right? Which is crazy. What happens if it rains on a Pixie Stick pallet? Do they just lose a year's supply? Airheads.
Oh, that's a first gone for me. I feel like I get it if you disagree, but yeah.
No. I do love them. Two things. One, did you ever do the thing where you shake the package so that you get it all balled up in the end in like one big ball?
I did.
And then also, how many years old were you when you figured out what the white flavor was?
I think I was a full adult when somebody told me that. Oh, it's
all... That might have been... I told you that on pod, because I think we might have talked about that on an earlier pod episode. Because correct me if I'm wrong, or correct me if I was the one who told you this and it ends up being wrong. But it was all the leftover undyed candy pieces that were just mixed together to make mystery flavor, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that was my understanding of it from a long time
ago. I wonder if that's the origination and now they actually... I mean, just for the fact that it's one-fifth of the actual pack, like, they must actually need to just make it, right?
Which, I'm surprised...
The leftovers isn't just enough to... make it such a core.
I guess there's nothing that denotes freshness about that, but there is something about, like, you know, when you find out that like the house salad at a restaurant is just like them throwing together whatever stuff they've left over from yesterday or stuff like that, where you're like, well, now I'm never gonna order that. That's how I know that they're fucking me. I don't know why. Something about finding out when that, like, that's part of the manufacturing, like, money saving process usually irks me, but it didn't for Airheads.
For Airheads, I forgave them.
That's how they fuck me. Because they mix all the extra flavors together. And I'm not trying to get fucked, not tonight.
I want that fresh sugar.
Yeah, I want all cherry or all blue raspberry. Another movie staple, Crunch Bars.
I would put that at B tier. That's about as good as a Hershey's.
Sure, I'll do B tier. I guess it's not Last Gone. I would eat it over the other things that are in Last Gone right now. Not my favorite, though. Is that rice? Is that what it is? It's puffed rice in chocolate?
Yeah.
And it's another candy bar where tastes have changed, they've adapted this, but they don't make a dark chocolate version of that. It's just the Crunch Bar, right?
Which I did like a lot more as a kid, but I think, I don't know, just stopped liking them as much.
Oh, Necco wafers.
I didn't have those.
I also do not know what they taste like, but I recognize them. All right, I feel like this one's going to be a big one for you. Sour Patch Kids.
Yeah, that's a first gone for me. I like Sour Patch Kids.
Straight into the first gone. I like the peaches. I don't love the watermelons. Watermelon's never been my favorite flavor. But I do like the Sour Patch Kids. And another one where I thought they had pretty good commercials. Pretty, pretty funny ones.
Yeah.
First they're sour, then they're sweet. They're the ones who first taught me about leaving abusive relationships.
Isn't that the other way around?
That someone who abused me taught me about Sour Patch Kids?
First they're sweet, then they're sour. The Sour Patch Kids are the opposite. Oh. They're more like a rom-com, where it's like, he's mean to her, but then she realizes he has a heart of gold.
Oh, they're sour, then they're sweet. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Good and Plenty. Ironic name for something that I wanted none of. okay, this is a big one, because there was a meme when we were young. about the alternative version of these being better. I'm an original Twizzlers guy. Always love Twizzlers. Better than Red Vines. I don't love them, but they are the type of Sweden kid-styled licorice that I can handle.
Oh, yeah, I never liked Red Vines or Twizzlers.
Damn.
So for me, they would be last gone, but... Hey, no, no, I think we should go with one or the other, and let's give it to you, buddy.
I'll give it to an A then, especially if it's a cherry Twizzler or if it's one of those stuffed Twizzlers.
Oh, if it's a sour stuffed Twizzler, that's first gone.
Come on, no. Oh, okay, all right. We'll put it in the A, because I don't love all the types of Twizzlers, but... I mean, it's the type of candy you can make into a straw. That's pretty cool. Dots.
Somewhere between B and last gone.
Yeah. It's incredible what you can do to mess up a gummy candy.
Yeah.
M&M's. Plain original M&M's. That's the kind of candy you first come up with when people are inventing candy.
Yeah.
For that, I'd give it a B, though. I don't know.
Yeah, that's fine to me.
You don't have it? Do you have any good memories of like an elementary school teacher giving you M&Ms so you can sort through the pack and like get the distribution of colors to do like a statistics exercise or something like that?
That was about 50% of my interaction with M&Ms.
They were good for that kind of thing, you know. Just gum, just any kind of gum, Juicy Fruit or Double Mint or.
Is this specifically a Halloween candy list? Nobody ever gave me gum on Halloween.
Really?
Did they? And I've forgotten? I don't know. I don't think that happened.
No. Well, I don't know if, what are the lollipops that have the gum inside of them? I forgot about those. Those are kind of cool. Okay, yeah, we can put in terms of Halloween that we didn't have these in our hood. Laffy Taffy? You want to shake that Laffy Taffy?
I didn't really like it that much. I don't think I scoffed at it, but I don't know. I'd put it at last gone sort of tier.
Yeah, it was nothing like the taffy you could get on a Charleston boardwalk. You know what I mean? That fresh Laffy Taffy. Werther's Originals. I think because of media, these next two I always associated with being an old person.
Yeah, but I didn't get them on Halloween, but
I didn't either, yeah. I mean, even in the picture, they're not showing them individually wrapped. They're still showing them like what you would get at CVS.
I don't know. I didn't dislike them. Even as a kid, I didn't feel like they were candy. Yeah. I felt like they had their place. They were almost like a, they were almost like an amuse-bouche. Like they were a palette.
Right. So like when they were showing you the food pyramid, you were like, but where did the Werther's Originals go? They're kind of their own thing.
It really didn't feel like candy to me. It felt like, just something that you have to have.
It's something that you need to have, but they're going to leave your ass. They're going to leave with half.
And then the strawberry.
Yeah, the wrapped fake strawberry things. I feel like, I don't know why I thought they were Mexican for the longest time. I don't know what they are, but I don't know
how to describe it, but that's so true.
It'd be like, yeah, right? Like that'd be like a Mexican thing. I don't know. We don't fuck with that as Guatemalans. All right, Hershey's Kiss. Another teacher treat.
The idea. I think I liked their shape. I don't think I actually liked them that much. I
liked their shape. Hey, yo. I think for me, I liked them better as a Christmas treat because that's when they would make the peppermint ones or the mint ones, and I do like a mint chocolate. But as far as just a plain-ass Hershey's Kiss goes, I'm putting that at last gone.
You see, to me, that's so similar to the... It's funny to me the Hershey's Cookies and Cream made it higher than that. They're, like, very similar sort of...
Do you want to contest?
Nah, I'm all right. Last Gone is fine.
One is straight chocolate
also,
with a voluptuous
last
shape.
Last Gone, because they're, you got so many of them at some point...
That's true.
...that it's just, like, it really felt like a candy you could never run out of. There was no urgency to having a Hershey's Kiss.
You know, I think the other reason I think about them is Christmas is because they had that commercial where they ring them like little bells to do that song. The dun 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 dun. Plain Hershey's bar.
To me, it would go where the cookies and cream one goes, I guess.
I'm going to put it behind cookies and cream, but I'll put it in there. All right, Mike and Ike.
Oh, I didn't really like them.
I think I just didn't fuck with them. I think they were one of those ones that I knew I wasn't going to like, so I never tried them. because I think they were just hard licorice-y candies. Didn't they have like an ad campaign where Mike and Ike split, or was that a real thing?
I am a little surprised that you put straight into the trash, because I don't think there was
they're
any
right next
candy.
To the Good and Plenty's.
There was no way I put anything in the trash. So it was going eventually.
What, on a real hard day and all you had left was your Mike and Ike? Okay, last gone then. Snickers. Now make an exception for a Snickers.
You know,
I'm not usually a chocolate boy, but
it has to be higher than the Three Musketeers because I actually ate Snickers.
Really? You don't find them to be somewhat of an exceptional chocolate candy? You think Kit Kats are better than Snickers?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, I think Snickers have way more going on in terms of like the flavor profile that they're going for.
You put them in A tier. That's fine.
No, I'll put them in B tier, but I'll say this. I've brought on pod before the fact that Walmart has those kind, like Snickers ice cream bars that are like way healthier and better and have better macros. But a Snickers ice cream bar, are you kidding
me? I like the ice cream bars. I also like the original Snickers frozen. That's something my mom used to do.
All right, so your mom's a smart lady.
But definitely better than Hershey's bars. That's how they did it back in the old country. That has to be higher than Hershey's bars.
All right, Baby Ruth, named after our president's daughter. My date with president's daughter, Baby Ruth.
Felt like old-timey candy, even though they were around.
I couldn't tell you what their thing is. I couldn't tell you what the filling is that's supposed to be cool.
You know what I don't see on this list that I am interested to know your take on? Oh, actually, this list is very much longer than I thought. How do you feel about Whoppers? I still don't see them on here.
Well, they have a second Werther's Originals. We can put that on there. Whoppers, I think they're kind of satisfying, but not something I want more than like
I never liked the bite of them growing up, but I kind of did like them. I don't know. Yeah.
I kind of liked it as like eating like a styrofoam peanut.
When you bit into them would make a sound in my ear. I didn't like.
Yeah, kind of like a squeak. Yeah, yeah. It's like a cheese curd. That's how you know it's good. There's got to be auditory feedback. I really have no opinion about where to put Babe Ruth aside from the first two.
I think
tiers.
B is fine for me, but maybe where Three Musketeers and Last Gone is fine too.
Yeah, Swedish Fish.
Oh, wait, Hubba Bubba Bubblegum? I used to get a ton of those on Halloween. I don't know why. Oh, I think
definitely a good way to fill out a bag.
Yeah.
Okay, Hubba Bubba.
That one's hard to, because that's kind of like the Werther's Originals where I almost didn't think of it as candy. I was like, that's just something you have around.
Okay, yeah, again, don't really see where that fits into things.
It is crazy that I said I never got gum, and now I realize I definitely got Hubba Bubba. And
Hubba Bubba, which was chocolate.
Also, you would get the like rolled up gum. Do you remember that?
The tape?
Maybe not on Halloween, but like at school, yeah.
Yeah, you get like a full tape. I think Hubba Bubba, I think it worked because of the abundance of it. That you could eat like three and get a pretty big bubble blown out of it. It was kind of cool.
Okay.
Still probably only B tier for me.
I could go B or Last Gone.
Yeah. The flavor was okay.
It had that Hershey's Kiss quality where it felt so like you had so many of them that there was no it felt like you were never going to run out of Hubba Bubbas.
Ooh, okay. Swedish Fish.
Oh, I did not like them. Even though they're a gummy candy, Damn. They had like a
not even the Trader Joe's version?
I do like the Trader Joe's ones. I didn't like Swedish Fish though.
I had a very particular issue with them. They were a little chalky. The other issue I had with them is just one flavor. That doesn't really, that's one of the good things about, even if you don't like one of the flavors out of like five flavors in a gummy pack, the variety is just nice. So I'd put it at like a Last Gone. Blow Pop was something I mentioned earlier of being a source of gum. I quite like them. I think they're kind of nice. Sometimes they still enter your life. Sometimes it is like you go somewhere random and they have Blow Pop. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I dig them.
I'd put him where Hubba Bubba is to me.
Yeah, I put him at like a B. Okay, well, I think this is the... Well, there's other ones too. We can group them all together because I kind of think they're the same, but...
Oh, I hated these.
Candies that are spicy because they had cinnamon in them.
Hated.
Hated too. This is one of not a good flavor.
They were called Red Hots?
We have Fireballs and we have Hot Tamales.
Oh, Fireballs, yeah. I didn't like either.
Straight into the trash?
Yeah.
All right, let me know which one you want to do next.
I didn't really do Fun Dip. Gushers. That's Gushers and Fruit Roll-Ups.
Very similar.
In my mind as a kid, that and Fruit by the Foot, I put them all in one tier in my mind, and they're all gone first. I love them.
I love them, not Halloween candy.
That was more school lunch. You would for sure get a Fruit Roll-Up on
Maybe
Halloween.
Gushers. I don't know about a Fruit Roll-Up.
I feel like I remember getting Fruit Roll-Ups.
Because they came in packs of five.
The tattoos. They even had Halloween-themed tattoos on them sometimes.
And I remember doing that at the lunch table. I do not remember doing that from a Halloween bin.
Oh, okay.
Well, if you want to get people... I know this is something where I think ProZD has hot takes about this for gummy candies. Haribo.
Oh, my favorite sour straws or sour strips are the Haribo sour strips. The gummy bears are fine. They're filler candy. I like them.
I think they're pretty good.
I think they're a fine gummy texture. I think they're great in ice cream. I like that one's flavored pineapple, I think, which is dope. I think it's an A. All right. B, A.
B, A, or A is good.
All right. Put them in A. Let me know what speaks to you. Oh, Jolly Ranchers would get actually stuck in your teeth. They almost seemed kind of hazardous, but they were great.
Yeah, I'm like 50-50 on Jolly Ranchers. Sometimes it's we can do Ring Pops wherever they were because they were the same type of hard candy, and I think the flavors were actually similar too.
I'd put like a B.
Yeah, that sounds good.
I will say, I think the thing about Jolly Ranchers that I admire is that they were very obviously differentiated in what flavors there were. There are some candies where like you get a red where it's like a hard, like it's a like a deep red or like a light red, and one's like a watermelon and one's like a cherry, and you're like, I really wanted a cherry, I didn't really want the watermelon. Whereas Jolly Ranchers are pretty clear, but they're pretty upfront. They give some honest signals about what they're going to do to you. Peanut M&Ms are better than M&Ms. I would put them probably in B, but just higher up in B than M&Ms.
Okay.
I don't know about you.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
And they're more lethal. You can kill more enemies with them. Don't know that one.
Raisinets. That was a go-to movie theater candy for me growing up. I don't know if I liked it outside of that context that much.
Grew up in the Depression?
You don't like Raisinettes? I think for me, it's
B-day. I don't think I ever had one. Oh. I don't like... I'll put them in B for you. I'll put them in A for you, actually. Because we need to fill out our A tier.
And then I was going to say my favorite candy of childhood by Starburst. Far.
Oh, no. Warheads.
Warheads.
Yeah. No, those were dope. Those were... I would say the only reason they weren't first gone is because I kind of treasured them a little bit too much because they weren't super common. But yeah. And they weren't something you kind of just down all day. You definitely wanted to like...
I will say they do kind of go bad. If you leave a Warhead in a wrapper too long, it does stick to the wrapper or lose its sour.
That seems more like a heating thing than like a... than being exposed... That seems really being exposed to the elements than like in shipping that they're facing these issues. But I'll end it with... oh, there is Whoppers here. I forgot what we ended up saying we were going to do with them. But I guess like B tier, C tier, B tier. Let's end on Starbursts. Starbursts and Skittles, which to me
we're not gonna
very
do corn. What are they called?
do you love candy corn?
Candy
do you want to talk? Do you want to make your case for candy corn?
That's why.
Yeah, everybody does. They're the worst. Those are straight into the trash. I really don't understand those. There are ones like that where I guess you get some. I guess it does give that information sometimes when someone is into them. Where you're like, oh, you're a little freak, aren't you? And then Twix are good in the same way that I think, like, maybe not Snickers are, but, like, other pretty good chocolate bars are. I'd put them in a B. But Skittles and Starburst. Let's end with those two.
Oh, those are A to gone first tier for me. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to put Skittles in A. I agree with that. I think Skittles are one of those ones where they really upped their game with the different flavors that they did. Starburst, just the original ones for me as a first gone. I think they knocked it out of the park with just the original flavors, especially that red one.
Mm. As a sourhead, I always like candies that had a blue or like a blue raspberry.
Oh, I do love a blue raspberry. If that's available, that's also up there. All right, so no need to detail all of it, but in the first gones, we got the Reese's Cups, we got the Airheads, Sour Patch Kids, Gushers, Fruit Roll-Ups, Warheads, and Starburst, which I think really... speaks to what we set up top. In the A tiers, we got some Kit Kats, some Reese's Pieces, some Snickers, some Twizzlers, Haribo Gummy Bears, Butterfingers, Raisinets for some reason, and Skittles. Paul, do you have a lesson and or a big fact no cap to end us on?
No, but I feel like I've seen this YouTube video where people made this graph, but with like what you would trade things for if it was an economy.
I only had experience doing that with up to like four other people, with my neighbors and my sister, so I didn't get to do a whole lot of trading.
My big fact for this episode is when it comes to Halloween, don't be a Halloweeny.
And my no cap is if you want a fun Halloween costume, and you will have to make it today because this comes out Halloween morning, do K-pop Demon Hunter, but they're North Korean.